Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I'm going to be going, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read some verses there, and then we're going to read some other verses this morning as I got something to share with you that I believe is pertinent for this day. And for what's yet to come. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. How many got your Bible with you today? If you don't, just listen or look on somebody else. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." This is what you and I are to be. "Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So if he tells us to be strong in the Lord, even though we're believers, but he tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that means we could not be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If it was just automatically, he wouldn't have to said that, would he? He would have just said, "You're all strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." But he didn't say that, did he? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
How many can read? Be means you got to be something, right? Be strong in the Lord. Be courageous. You ever heard that? Be courageous. Be silent. You ever heard that? Well, you had some poor upbringings if you never heard that one. Be silent. Amen. How many know we got that as kids, right? Be still. Really, our parents didn't say be. They said shut. Maybe you got that. I mean, that means the same thing, right? Just different way to say it. Our parents said it the slang way. Shut your mouth or I'll shut it for you. Hallelujah. Now, so he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, how many know, he's getting ready, which we're not going to read this. We've got some other things to talk about this morning. But he's getting ready to talk about that we have a conflict. We have a conflict, not with flesh and blood, but with these demonic spirits. And he said, you need to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in your flesh, but strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I think many people get whipped right here is because they go from it, they approach it backwards, you know, where the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think what some people try to do is like, they try to, instead of walk in the Spirit, they try to keep from walking in the flesh. But the first thing you got to do is walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? If you don't walk close to the edge, you won't fall off. Hallelujah. But I think what happens, and all of us can be guilty of this at times, is we're trying to make our flesh strong. Your flesh just needs to, you got to handle, like Paul said. He said, I buffet my body. You ever read that in 1 Corinthians? I buffet my body. Well, I thought that said buffet my body, Pastor. No, you're reading it the French with the French language. Buffet means to beat it, to treat it roughly, to handle it, to make it behave. But how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you don't do that, you know, you can say, well, through discipline and stuff. Well, discipline's got its part, but you gotta be strong in the Lord. You gotta walk in the Spirit. In other words, here's the thing. Before people get in trouble doing the wrong things, they first get in trouble because they didn't do the right things. If you do the right things, amen, which is walk in the Spirit, which means I give myself to spiritual things. I'm just not about carnal things all the time. You know, whatever my flesh wants. And you know, it likes things, right? But you can't give it everything. You know, I have friends sometimes, they go on fast and they may deny their flesh certain things, you know, on this fast. I've got a pastor friend that his church was fasting and they weren't like doing total fast, but they were, you know, fasting certain things that they may like sweets, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, or other things. And I told him, I was preaching for him, I said, well, I'm going to go on that fast with you. I'm going to fast broccoli. And I haven't had any broccoli since then. Praise the Lord. But how many know fast means you give up something that you want, not something you could care less about, right? Anyway, but he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, what I want to talk to you this morning about is this, and you'll see why I read this scripture, is I want to talk to you about what the Lord, you know, I was praying about what do you want us to, what's our theme for this year? And I heard the Lord say this to me. Now, I found out he said it to other people too, and so I think it's a God thing. But I had the Lord say to me, 2026 is going to be the, it's going to be, let me, I got it down, I'll make sure I say it right. 2026 is going to be the year of the fix. What does that mean? I don't know, but if you get it, if you don't get more excited over that, then it's not going to be the best year we ever had. 2026 is going to be the year of the fix. Now, let me talk to you about fix. What does fix mean? It means to repair, to mend, to make something work properly again. You ever gone and said, what are you doing, honey? She says, I'm fixing dinner. So there's another thing. It means to prepare something. And so God's going to prepare something for us in this year. He's going to fix some things. Anybody got anything you need repaired, mended, something that maybe isn't quite working properly right now? That's going to change. But then God is preparing some things for us. He's fixing us dinner. Hallelujah. He's preparing something for us. Amen. But there's another meaning of the word fix, too, that I want to talk about, too, is you know, if you're a guy who watches boxing, you know, especially, I don't know how much it happens today. I'm sure it probably happens today. But in the old days, they used to fix fights. Yeah. The fight's fixed. Yeah. But the outcome's already predetermined before it ever starts. Who's going to win and who's going to lose? God is going to fix some things for us. Hallelujah. He's got a determined outcome for us. He's going to influence the outcome of some things this year. Some things are going to go in our favor. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there's some things that are still hanging around from 2025 that need to be fixed. I had some issues arise in 2025 that need to be fixed. And I'm expecting 2026 that they're all going to be fixed. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I'll pray those prayers. Lord, just fix everything. Anybody ever pray that prayer? Just fix everything. Amen. All right. And I'm glad that he's a God that can fix it. Amen. But here's why I read this scripture. Because if we're going to see, and I'm going to show you a scripture about this in a minute. If we're going to see God be the God of the fix for us in 2026, we're going to have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What does that mean? Well, you know, listen, we're going to have to quit. The center of our lives can't just be the natural. It's got to be the things of the Spirit. If all we think about all day long and all we give our time to is natural things, then I'm going to show you God's not going to be able to do what he wants to do in our life. Now, I'm not, you know, we have natural things that we have to do. God knows that. How many know that? He knows that we got jobs, right? We got kids. Man, I see some people with so many kids, I don't know how they make it to church on time, but they do. I'm thinking they're good. Amen. Our daughter-in-law was always that way. Have 6 kids, they'd all be suited up in church and on time or early, you know. But she always was one of these people. I would joke to Phyllis, because she's always got something going on. I said, why, you know, she's doing something. I said, well, she must have had 15 spare minutes somewhere. Because how many know you got 6 kids? You don't have 15 minutes spare much at all. So God knows those things, but you know, our focus doesn't have to be just on natural things all the time. God knows we got to do things. He knows, you know, he knows we're going to go do some natural things and have fun. We're going to go fishing, watch the Colts lose again. He knows we're going to do these things. And I don't think he has a problem with that, but that shouldn't be our life. That may be things we do for, you know, to entertain ourselves, You know what I'm saying? And, but God wants our focus to be on spiritual things. They're the most important thing to us, is the things of the Spirit. Amen? You know, they used to say this. I saw this. I forget who said this, but I thought it was really good. They said, you know, talking about us that got, we got born again years ago in the 1980s, we used to say that I'll be at that event if church doesn't get in the way. But he said, today the Christians say, I'll be at church if the event doesn't get in the way. I mean, that's the wrong focus. And that, God can't move like he wants to move unless our focus is right. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3. That's why I'm saying these things. You know, why it's the year of the fix, but I'm saying these things because we got to put ourselves in position to be fixed. Amen? So to fix means to repair. It means to mend, to make something work properly. Or like we said, fixing dinner, preparing food. God's fixing something for us. He's preparing something for us. Or to influence an outcome. In other words, God is going to influence the outcome. He's going to give judgment in our favor. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, look with me, if you would, at verse 14. Paul is praying for the church. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. How many know we got family in heaven? We're all one big family. Amen? I mean, just look at the people around you. That's your family. And you go, oh, brother. Pray for me, pastor. No, we're all one big family. How many know that? You know, and when some person leaves and they know the Lord, you know, sometimes we'll talk about them. And I do that because in one sense, it's true. We'll talk about they were a good person. But, yeah, I mean, they're still a good person. They're probably a better person now. But, you know, we're talking about their time on earth. When they were on the earth, they were a good person. Paul, I like the way Paul talked about it. He talked about it in Thessalonians. He says, them would sleep in Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean their soul's sleeping and they don't know anything's going on. They're asleep to us. They're not dead to us. They're just asleep. You know, we can't have any communication with them. We can't talk to them. But they're not dead. Dead and sleep's two different things. There's a day that they're going to get woke up. You know what I mean? Their bodies. You know what I'm saying? Hey, thank God God created spirit, soul, and body. How many know he's going to put us back together, spirit, soul, and body? Amen? Amen. You know, how many know your DNA? People say, well, how's God going to put that body together? It burned up in a fire. Hey, the DNA is still there. Amen. I said, the DNA is still in the earth. Everybody's DNA is still here. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. And God's going to, one day, the Bible says, the trumpet's going to sound. Hallelujah. There's going to be a shout. Yes. And we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Glory be to God. There's just a few things I just hope are in heaven. You know, there's a few things I eat that I hope are there. Does anybody think that way, or am I just really weird? I mean, it's like, I was thinking about certain things I eat, and I hope this is in heaven, you know. Let's hope they, you know, I hope it isn't just grapes and, you know, apples and stuff, you know. Ribeye steaks, lab created by the angels. How many of you know that? Don't have to kill any cattle to have a ribeye steak. God can lab create them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why Pastor Jerry got saved. He heard about the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said, I'm not missing that. Praise the Lord. All right. Whole family, everybody. Heaven and earth. Now notice this, verse 16, he's praying for this church. You understand, he's praying. That he would, talking about God, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Isn't this some strong language? To be strengthened with might, or the word might means power, or the word dunamis. How many ever heard of that word, the Greek word dunamis? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on. You shall receive dunamis. It's the same word here. It's just in this place the King James translators decided to use the word might. That you might be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. So if he's praying for us to be strengthened with power by the spirit in our inner man, how many know then that can happen? Or he wouldn't pray it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I like what the Amplified Bible says, that Christ may settle in and dwell and be at home in your heart. Amen. You know what I'm saying? How many of you, we want to live our lives in such a way that Christ fills a home inside of us. Right? We don't want to live in such a way. You ever been to somebody's house and you just felt like, man, I don't feel comfortable here. They've been fighting or something, you know what I mean? And you don't want to be there. But we want to make a comfortable, we want our lives to be a comfortable place for the Lord to live in.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we want to watch what we say, watch what we do. I mean, he still loves you. How many know that? He still loves you. Doesn't change his love for you, but he wants to feel at home inside of your heart. You know what I'm saying? You go to some people's house, you feel at home. You just open the refrigerator without asking. Anybody got friends like that?
Yeah.
Well, I've got friends like that. Pastor Jerry's one of my friends that'll do that to me. He'll eat my candy and everything else. One time, we were going somewhere together, and I said, just go to the house. You just go on in, you know. And so it will be there in a little bit, you know. We were going to meet and go somewhere, and I get there. He's leaning back. Our couch on both sides, it reclines. You know what I'm saying? It's a gift from God. It reclines. Our love seat does the same thing. He's got a reclined back. And I look on the table. There's all kinds of little candy wrappers all around him. So he settled down and made himself at home. I mean, Christ wants to be at home in our house, right? He wants us to live our lives in such a way he feels at home. He doesn't feel, you know, like I don't like what's going on here. Amen. So Christ may settle down, dwell in your hearts by faith. Look at this. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Aren't you glad God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? But notice, it's according to something. Notice this. According to the what? The power that works in us. Interesting, isn't it? God's able, but it's according to something. What's this power? Well, verse 16, read it again. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might or power. That's the Greek word. Dunamis is the Greek word, but it means might or power. So let's read it that way. That you might be strengthened with power or dunamis by his spirit in the inner man. So Paul said, I want you to have power in your inner man. Verse 20, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. So what God's going to do for us isn't according to the power that's in heaven.
Right.
Come on, somebody, help me out now. It's not according to, you know, God can do anything. Well, absolutely God can do anything. He can't lie, we know that. But I mean, we know what I mean. Well, God can do anything. Yeah, he can, but he's going to do it according to the power that's at work in us. Can you see why I read Ephesians 6:10? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because if God's going to be... If this is going to be the year of the fix, we have to have some power working in us. We have to have some power working in us. See. Now, all right, is it all right if we look at some scripture this morning? We got a little bit of time here. Look with me. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Pastor Chuck was over here the other night. Luke chapter 1. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, and look with me at verse number 13. Y'all there? Luke 1, 13. But the angel said unto him, he's talking about Zacharias the priest, John the Baptist's father. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife shall bear a son, and ye shall call his name John. Now, how many know Zacharias has been praying for a son, for a child? But when the angel shows up and says, you're going to have a child, he goes, how can this be? I'm old. Have you seen my wife lately? So sometimes we pray for things and we don't really believe it. Right? He said, I heard your prayer. Now that also tells me this. You know, how many know? He probably prayed this prayer a long time ago. He probably didn't wait till he got to be an old man and said, you know what? I noticed my wife is 90 and I'm 95 and we don't have any kids. Lord, give us some kids. I mean, he probably prayed that when he was in his 20s. Right? But it took a while for God to answer. I'm just trying to give some hope to some of you that you've been praying for something and it's been a while and it hadn't come to pass. Well, you know, Zechariah didn't pray this prayer when he got old. He prayed this when he was young. Amen. And so he's prayed this prayer. And notice the angel said, your prayer's heard. God heard your prayer. And now it's time for it to happen. Amen. I'm just praying, Lord, Pastor, that God has given me a woman. Well, we got to ask a few questions. First of all, do you already have a woman? No, I don't have one. Okay, well, then that's safe. We're safe. Okay. Now, next, are you? Don't give up on your prayer.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I'm leaving for you. I want me a man, Pastor. He's got a hairy chest and a gold chain. Forget the chain. Just keep the hairy chest, all right? How many know sometimes we just need to know God's working things out?
Yeah.
See, here, Zach, you know the Bible says this. Now, we've all had this. I've had this happen where I prayed for something and then I'm like, where is it at? But did you know what the Bible tells us? If we pray anything according to His... Come on, I'm hearing some good things. His will, His word, which is His will, right? He what? He'll think about it. He says, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petitions. So maybe you were praying about something. You know, I may have talked about, you know, a guy and a girl, you know, maybe that. Maybe you're praying about something else. Well, if you prayed according to God's will, how many know He heard you? How many know when Zechariah, how many know it's the will of God, right? Amen. For Zechariah to have a son, right?
Yeah.
When he prayed, God heard him, right? And so he says, verse 14, you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Now notice this, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Hallelujah. Now, why did he need to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb? Well, he tells us, verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and the power, talking about going before Jesus, the Messiah, in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready. This was John the Baptist's assignment, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He was to go ahead to Jesus and get some people ready. Hallelujah. So how many know he had the he was anointed to go fix some things. He had to have the anointing. He had to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with power to fix some things. How many know Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yes.
Because he wants me to have goosebumps. How many know the anointing is not for goosebumps?
Right.
I mean, I've gotten goosebumps. Thank God for them. I've had my goosebumps get goosebumps because of the presence of God. But that's not what it's for. He's anointed me to go preach the gospel to the poor. Recovering a sight to the blind, to set at liberty the captives. Amen?
Yeah.
Right? So he was anointed to fix some things. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was anointed to fix some things in people's lives. And there has to be an anointing in our lives for there to be a fix. Are y'all following me this morning? Am I making any sense? See, that's why we talk about he was able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think. Why does the Holy Spirit come on us? Why do we get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, one thing, the Bible says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And you'll be witnesses. unto me. You'll be able to go out and fix some things. Amen. And I just believe this. You know, people say, well, you know, when I didn't feel any power, I didn't sense any power. Well, you know what? That's not the indication that you got power. Let's just say you get a new house and the power's off and you call the company, turn the power on, and you say, you know what, I'm going to check and see if they got it on yet. And you take two copper wires and stick them in the outlet. How many know that is one way to find out if the power's on? It's probably not the smartest way. It's probably not the best way. The best way is just flip a switch and see if the power's on. Why? Because it's not about, you know, it's not about, I mean, you don't want to feel that power necessarily. We used to do that as kids. And I look back and say, we were just stupid just to see who could take it. We had one of those old, crank phones. Have you ever seen those old crank? We had one of those in the basement, old crank phones, you know. Not about, and I don't know, maybe I got this. They had a magneto in them, I think is what it was. Help me out, Jason. But anyway, they had two wires, and it cranked that magneto, and it caused an electrical current. And if you grab those wires, I mean, it jolts you. So as kids, you know, some of my friends, what we'd do is we'd grab the wires and then grab hands and then crank that thing and see who broke the circle first. Who couldn't handle it? Who couldn't take it? I mean, thank God for power, but you don't necessarily want to feel power. So what I'm saying to you is, yeah, sometimes we feel the power of God. That's great. But whether we feel it or not, we should believe we have it and go out and be a witness and act like we got power and act like when we pray for the sick, they'll get well. And act like we pray for the demonic, they'll get delivered. Just act like the word's so. You don't wait till you feel like it. Think, well, I don't know, I don't feel real spiritual today. Well, there's days I don't feel spiritual either, but we still got it because God gave us power when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? He gave us that power. But we'll never know it's there if we don't ever flip the switch and try to use it. Amen. So John the Baptist, he was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb because he had a job to do. He had to fix some things. Jesus was anointed to fix some things. Micah said in Micah in the Old Testament, he said, truly I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible tells us, Luke, Jesus told his disciples, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. In other words, don't go out and try to fix something without the power. You got to have the power. Hallelujah. You got to have the power. Now, we're going to wind this down here, but let's go to Ephesians. I want to look at two scriptures. Hopefully we can do that in our time that's left. Ephesians chapter 2. Hey, we're not having church Wednesday, so let's take that hour and a half and tack it onto this. And Ephesians chapter 5. And one good outcome of that is once you get to the restaurant, it'll be cleared out. There's a new restaurant in town here I've been wanting to eat at, but I've gone there, can't get in. So if we preach another hour, we'll be able to get in. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But what? How many? There's an alternative. Be filled with the Spirit. Right? How many? Wine's not the real true fix. Alcohol doesn't fix it. You know, people say, I'm drinking to forget my troubles. Well, the only problem is they come back in the morning, and sometimes there's some tagging along with them. It's like one guy said, when you do that, you put your face in a place it should never be. I'll let you figure that out. The true fix is be filled with the Spirit. See, wine, you know, once people try to fix their lives. You know, I used to do the drugs, I used to drink, and all that. But you know, all it did was cause me troubles, more problems. Didn't fix any problems. But there's a better way. You can be filled with the Spirit. How many know in the morning you're not going to wake up hungover? Right? You're not going to wake up and say, what did I do last night? Where was I last night? You're going to wake up, praise God, with the glory. Amen? But notice it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, how do you get filled with the Spirit? Well, he tells us. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the way we stay full of the Spirit is by rejoicing in the Lord. By singing, by praising, by rejoicing. Instead of complaining, we give thanks. I found myself complaining the other day. I know you're shocked. I was too. I'm just like, I can't believe you did that. No. I was complaining about the weather. And one of my neighbors helped me out. We were talking. I said, yeah, why does it have to be like 70 degrees and it's cloudy all the time? Why can't it be cloudy when it's 20 and sunny when it's 70? Why can't we get some days with some sunshine to enjoy this nice weather? And she goes, well, at least it's warm out. She preached a sermon. And I went, shut up, preacher, quit complaining. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. How many understand? We can, you know, instead of complain, we can praise. Right? How many of you can always think, you can always find something to thank God for? Oh, yeah. So, man, I'm having problems with my right leg. Well, thank God you got a left leg. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Right? Oh, I can't see out of my right eye. Well, thank God you got a left eye. Amen. How many, there's always something to thank God for, right? But if you want to, and the Bible says that's one way, one of the ways we stay full of the Spirit is by giving praise and thanking God, making melody in our heart to the Lord. In other words, we have a good attitude about us. You ever meet Christians have a sour attitude? They're not full of the Spirit. When you're full of the Spirit, you got a good attitude. Doesn't mean you don't have the same problem other people do, but you just got a good attitude. You're rejoicing and thanking God. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't write this though. Paul wrote this. How many know that? This is a scriptural command from the Apostle Paul, is be filled with the Spirit. Let's close out. You get anything this morning? Go to 2 Chronicles 16. We're just talking about this is the year of the fix. God's going to fix some things for us this year. Hallelujah. Maybe there's some things that you've been believing God for a long time. I'm just believing this is the year. God's fixing, you know, and like I said, there's different meanings for fix, you know, like fixing dinner. Something's about to happen. Something's about to come. Something good. Hallelujah. Look at this in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Did I tell you that? All right, let's go to verse number 7. It says, and at that time, Hananiah, the seer or the prophet, came to Asa, and king of Judah, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and notice this, and not relied on the Lord, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. So the indication is if he'd relied on the Lord, this wouldn't have happened this way. There would have been a different outcome, because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes, this is God now, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Well, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about relying on the Lord. See? So a heart that's perfect toward him is one that relies on him. In other words, we don't trust in the natural for the fix. We trust in the Lord for the fix. Herein you've done foolishly, therefore from henceforth you shall have wars. And Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison, for he was in a rage because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Now Asa, when you know his history, he was a good king that started to go bad because he quit relying on God. So, you know, when you stop relying on God and you start relying on the natural, you're on your way down. Jeremiah said, if you trust in the Lord, you'll be like a heath that's blessed, a shrub thing out in the desert that's blessed, that has plenty of moisture, you know. But if you're, you know, it's getting water. But if you don't, well, I'm butchering this scripture up really bad. But anyway, it's Jeremiah 17. Read it for yourself. I just realized, just stop while you're ahead. You can read it yourself, Jeremiah 17. But it talks about, you know, there's two ways, man. You could be a heath out in the desert, dried up, or you can be a moist plant, praise God. And those that trust in the flesh are going to dry up and then be in a salt land. But those that trust in the Lord are going to be well watered before the Lord, see. And that's what, that was that scripture. So I hope that came out a little better. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right. So you get a bad word. The best thing to do is just throw the prophet in prison. Well, that'll change things, right? No, if it's a word from God, you still, the prophet's in prison, you still got a bad word, right? Amen. And notice this, 11. And behold the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they're written in the books of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he didn't do what? He did not seek the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, I don't think, and we're going to finish this out, but I don't think God was upset with him because he went to the physicians. I think the problem was he totally cut God out of the equation. No relying, no faith. See, I mean, if you're going to go to the doctor, you ought to go to the great physician first. Right? Dr. Jesus. And maybe you do go to the doctor. Maybe you do that. But you better be trusting God along the way. Because they are just human flesh that can make mistakes. And they can't fix everything. Amen. I appreciate the medical community and doctors because I think God's given them a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. It's amazing the things they can do. But our trust needs to be in the Lord. Right? That even if I'm going to go to the doctor, I'm going to believe God's involved in this. And he's going to help me out. Maybe if I go to him first, I don't even have to go to the doctor. Right? Maybe I don't even have to go to that part. Because you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's never pleasant to go to the doctor. You know, they poke you and do things to you. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, the other day it was just a regular physical. You know, it was like I joined, what's that thing I joined? It's an exclusive club for people Medicare. It's like, why do I want to join this club? Right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're a young people's club or something I could join. All right, so they have you go do this free physical thing, you know. So, old doc wanted to check some things out. I said, no, I've already, yeah, we're good. We're fine. He said, well, I'm not offended. I said, I know you're just trying to help me, but nah, we're fine. I don't think I need that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate you. Trying to help. No offense, but let's just let that ride. Amen. But how many know we got a great physician we can go to, right? So here's the problem. See, he did. It wasn't that he went to the physician. It was that he didn't go to the Lord. And all of that disease, which he had, which we're going to read, we'll close out, he had for 2 years. And all that 2 years, he never went to the Lord about it. He just trusted the doctors. And look what happened. Verse 13, Asa slept. He died with his fathers and died in one. He died in the 140th year of his reign. So 2 years later, he was gone because of this disease. They buried him in his own sepulcher, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in a bed, which is filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him. He had a great funeral. Praise the Lord. He had a great funeral. The only problem is you don't get to go. Like, you know, you don't get to see it. It's like some movie. Oh, no, it was a show, Andy Griffith's show. I get all my wisdom from that. This lady, she was so, I don't remember why, she was so embarrassed by her husband or something, and he left or something, and she told everybody he died. Remember that? She died. She had a funeral for him.
He died.
She said she told them he died. He hadn't died.
Right.
He just had left her or something.
Right.
And so she had a funeral for him.
Yes.
And so one day he shows back up in town.
Yes.
And Andy goes, "You're supposed to be dead." Tom Sylvie, wasn't his name?
Yeah.
"You're supposed to be dead." "Well, I ain't. Here I am." He said, "Well, your wife had her funeral for me." He said, "Was it a good one? Were there a lot of people there?" "Oh, yeah." "Well, who was there?" He named, "Doggone it, I didn't want him there. I told her not to let him come." How many know? Asa had a great funeral, but he could have had a great life. Had he quit relying on the natural and relied on the Lord, God would have helped him. And he said, "You got in trouble with these wars because you relied on the other kings. You didn't rely on me. I helped you once before and you won. But now you've turned his, I mean, that's his heart turned from God."
Yeah.
And he started relying on natural things. And
yeah.
And so we don't want to do that. I mean, this is all connected with this being the year of the fix, is that God has got some things he wants to fix, but we got to stay connected. Amen?
Amen.
We got to stay full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We got to stay full of the power. You know, amen, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power, full of the Spirit, because God's able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, you got to do your part. Amen.
Yeah.
God's ready to do his part, but you got to do your part so he can flow. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's the year of the fix, everybody. Yeah. 2026. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.